You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Brett Snodgrass out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Brett is actually a licensed real estate broker and a wholesaler and the founder of SimpleWholesaling.com. He's crushing it right now, on track to do about 140 houses this year. So Brett, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me. It is my pleasure.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your podcast, and I'm glad you're returning the favor and you're coming on the Deal Farm. We hadn't had the pleasure of meeting before now. We have a mutual friend, Jaron. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about your business and how you got into wholesaling and when you started and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no problem. So I am in the business of wholesaling real estate. And, how I got started was about 9 years ago. I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. I remember, even in junior high, I would buy big packs of gum and I would sell them individual pieces at school lunch. And
you know, it's funny. I did the exact same stinking thing.
Really?
Go to Sam's awesome. And load up on like the little bubble gums.
Bubblicious. And then, like,
yeah. Dude, that's so funny.
Cotton candy Bubblicious was my best seller.
and was that you were totally doing it like under the desk with like where the teachers weren't seeing you?
Yeah, the principal totally actually put a stop to that after a little while. I would come home literally with my pockets were filled with like quarters, and that was my first entrepreneur experience. And through that, I've just always had the entrepreneurial mind. Through college, I went to school to be a teacher because my parents were both teachers, and I didn't know what else to do. I've always wanted to own my own business, but I didn't want to do the corporate world, and I said I don't need a business degree to own my own business, so I decided I would just have a plan B, and I'd be teaching. So I got out of college and started the whole teaching, and that only lasted about 4 months. I just said this is not for me. I need something more. I just had that entrepreneurial itch, inside of me that I needed to just to scratch it. So I started all these entrepreneurial businesses. I was buying and selling DVDs on eBay. I started a couple MLM companies, multi-level marketing companies, and none of those really made me any money, but it really opened my eyes to the whole idea of being an entrepreneur. So I started reading books like Rich Dad Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. The Millionaire Next Door was a favorite of mine. Started reading the real estate, Millionaire Real Estate Investor, and I started reading all these books and really opened my eyes to wealthy people and how they really made their wealth was through real estate. Mm-hmm. So I started seeking into that, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I started just searching online, and this was like back in 07, and I didn't know anything about the economic downturn. I didn't know that it was even a bad real estate market. I didn't really look into the educational part of what the current economy was doing. I just looked at these books that said, hey, you can make a lot of money at real estate. So, and that's just what I looked at. So I started searching online for houses to buy. And I came across, eBay, and I think I told you, Ken, in an earlier conversation that I saw people selling houses on eBay. And I was like, that's interesting, because I knew that you can buy Tinker Toys, or you can buy video games, or you can buy, I don't know, just whatever. But I didn't know you can actually buy real estate on eBay. So I thought, wow, this is an interesting strategy. And I saw this house in Youngstown, Ohio, and I had no idea anything about Youngstown, Ohio, but I decided I would bid on this house. And it was a very, very cheap house. It was only, I won the bid at around $13,000. And I had no idea you could even buy a door or you could even buy bricks for $13,000. How could you buy a house for $13,000? There's no way. It doesn't make any sense. So I thought it was like too good to be true. So I drove out there sight unseen to look at this house. And let's take it back a little bit. I actually wasn't the winning bidder. I was the second place bidder. Okay. The winning bid was $13,000. I only bid up to like $10,000. Well, the winning bidder didn't come through, and so they asked me if I wanted it at my second place bid, which is around $10,000. And And I said, sure. So I drove outside unseen and I saw this house, and it was in the inner city of Youngstown, Ohio. And this place was just completely trashed. And I remember there was like these old, just dirty, like bed mattresses. There's all, you know, two or three of those. There was just filled with all this trash that the people had left. I remember cleaning it out all the way, putting all this trash in these big trash bags and just taking pictures of it. And I had about $5,000, and then my dad, he had about $5,000. So we had about $10,000 together. So we bought this house together, and we didn't have any money to fix it up. I just cleaned it up. And I was like, well, now what do we do? Well, I guess I'll just sell it. So I advertised it on Craigslist. I advertised it on all these sites, and I ended up selling that house for about $15,000, and that was my first deal. Made about $5,000. And then I asked myself, you know, if you could do this with one house, could you do it with 10? Could you do it with 50? Could you do it with 100? And that's kind of how I, you know, got started, just kind of into the business. And then I just did that over and over and over again.
That is crazy. So you bought the house through eBay?
Yeah.
Checked it out, cleaned it out, and then how did you end up selling it ultimately? Was it back on eBay again?
I believe it was, yes. If I remember correctly, I remember I advertised it back on eBay because I said, you know, the guy sold it for $13,000 and I only had bid $10,000 because I was a second place bidder. So I remember I was like, well, if it went for $13,000 once, maybe I could sell it for $13,000 because I was pretty good at creating ads because I had done a lot of other stuff on eBay. So I made a pretty nice ad, and I ended up and mine went for $15,000. So it actually went higher. And then, yeah, so I bought on eBay and I sold on eBay. That was my first.
You know that. So you were literally buying out of state, sight unseen, and flipping them on eBay. Did you continue buying out of state, or was that the only one you did that wasn't in your market?
Well, that was in Youngstown, Ohio, and I had done a couple there, and then I lived in Indiana, and I lived, you know, pretty close to Indianapolis, so I said, there's these cheap houses in Ohio. I wonder if there's any in Indianapolis. So I started looking at the MLS, and then I realized, what is going on here? Because there's all these bank-owned houses for really, really cheap. And then people were talking about real estate and how bad it was and how awful it was, and it was just tanking. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? I'm getting all these great deals and selling them online, and I was making money. So I did buy some in Ohio, but then I started buying a lot of them in Indianapolis because you could buy the same priced deals here in Indy. So I said, hey, you know, it was only about an hour or two from my house, so I started coming here to Indy and started going that route.
So you were actually buying them, closing on them, owning them before you were selling them. You weren't like assigning contracts at that time.
I wasn't assigning contracts because, you know, I didn't even know what assigning contracts was. I never took a real estate course. You know, the books I read didn't really talk about assigning contracts. I didn't really read a lot of blogs or articles. You know, I just read like a few books and I just went and did it. So again, I only had about $10,000. And I had another job at the time. I was working for a timber company, which is kind of awkward. But what this guy did was he would buy these large acres of land with woods on them. He would timber them, and then he would sell off the parcels of land. And I was working for commission off him, helping him find these. So I was making a little bit money with that. But again, I only had about $10,000. I sold that one house in Youngstown, Ohio for $15,000. We split the profits with my dad. And then I just took that money and I would buy another $10,000 house. And then I sold it, and then I would buy another $10,000. And then all of a sudden that $10,000 turned into, now I could pay for a $20,000 house. And then maybe I could even pay for a $30,000 after so many deals. But I just started off with those cheap houses at that time that you could buy. And I know it sounds, you know, if you're from California or maybe like where you're from, Ken, like Atlanta, that sounds just ridiculous that you could buy a house for that amount of money. But like, you know, here in Indy, or, you know, I was buying in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was buying in Dayton, Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana. These are some of the deals that we were picking up at that time. It's a lot harder today, but at that time, that's what I was doing.
So how many houses would you say you ended up selling on eBay over the course of a couple of years?
Well, I know like in 2008, I did 158 wholesale deals in that year. And I believe that we didn't sell them all on eBay, but I'm thinking probably 80% of them we sold on eBay.
And crazy.
Yeah, so I'd have this like 350 rating review on eBay, and I had this like name, it was like Real Estate Discounts was my eBay name. And most of those were just real estate transactions. Most of them were $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 houses. And the thing about it was, about eBay was just like, you know, you look at all these auction companies around, okay, you got auction.com, you got all these auction companies selling real estate now. Well, why are they doing that? And the thing about eBay was I knew that I could do a 7-day auction and I could sell that house in 7 days. There wasn't any, you know, any waiting around, any, it put a very, very time sensitive deadline on this house. And sometimes the people didn't come through and we had to deal with all that, but that's the same as real estate anyways. You just deal with that stuff. But you know, why I liked it is I could put a time sensitive deadline and say, hey, I bought this for 10 and now I'm going to sell it for 15 and I got 7 days to do it.
Were most of the houses you were buying at the time just REOs that you were just buying off like the MLS?
Yeah, so pretty much we started to develop a strategy just scouring the MLS for these REO properties. And me and my dad were partners. We were a team. And what we would do is I would take, you know, a complete morning. I would drive up to Indianapolis. I would look at 25 houses in one day. We weren't getting inside of them. We were just driving by. I would look through the windows and saying, looks good. Looks good. And we would make offers based on that. I got a hold of a real estate agent that worked in the areas that we were buying in, and she had a spreadsheet of all of our properties. So we were putting in, you know, 100 offers in Indy or 200 offers at a time, and we would only get, you know, out of 100 offers, we might only get 5 of them accepted, you know, and those were the ones we were making money on. And that was just our strategy. So she was happy. You know, we were happy because she didn't have to look at any of the houses. She didn't have to do anything. All she did was write the contracts. And then and we went to closing. So it worked out for everybody.
And so you were buying them, owning them, and then just relisting them on eBay and then selling that way. Yeah, I would think that, you know, eBay, they don't really hold your hand to the fire. I imagine a lot of folks would buy them and then have buyer's remorse and then not follow through.
Yeah, and that does happen. But, you know, to list a house on eBay, I think it was at that time it was like $100. So, yeah, I mean, you would spend $100 and sometimes they wouldn't come through. But again, it was just part of doing business, and like any expense. You know, sometimes today we send out flyers of a house to all the cash buyers in the area, and it costs us $200 or $300 to do that. You know, same thing with eBay. You spend $100 on an ad. Hey, works out great. Doesn't work out, you know, we can relist it and just go from there. And hopefully the next one works out, I guess. So,
God, what a crazy. So at some point in time, I guess eBay stopped working for you. When did you transition away from eBay?
So eBay, you know, pretty much, yeah, just kind of stopped working. There wasn't as many people doing it. You know, we kind of had the market cornered on eBay because, you know, if you go to like auction.com and you type in Indianapolis, Indiana, there's a bunch of auctions in Indianapolis. Well, on eBay, if you go and type in Indianapolis, Indiana, there might only be 5. So like we were really one of the only select few that were doing this strategy. So there wasn't a whole lot of competition, but the prices stopped being there. What happened was the prices in the market, the reason why it was working because these houses were so, so cheap. So somebody in California, you know, they would fly out or whatever and say, oh my gosh, I can buy a house for $10,000 or $15,000. That's like nothing. You know, I spend that on a weekend, you know? So that's why it was working. What happened was the Indy market or the markets that we were buying in started going up, and we couldn't get the REOs as much because that started drying up and the prices on eBay started going down. So it really worked in two directions against us. So so I had to look at something else, and me and my dad started thinking, okay, now what are we going to do? So we said, well, why don't we take some of the houses and actually, you know, fix them up? We had done a lot of deals at that time. We had made, you know, some good income. So we had some resources and some income to buy and fix up houses now. So we decided to try that. And just like anybody else, you know, I seen some shows on HDTV and they made it all look easy. And I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. My dad was a woodshop teacher for 30 years. So he knew how to do a lot of the woodwork and put in cabinets and flooring and all that stuff. So we had a lot of skills. I don't even know how to swing a hammer. And, you know, that wasn't my gift, but I was the one, you know, finding the deals. So we tried fixing them up and flipping them, and we became, I guess, what you would call fixing flippers for like 3 years after that. So
interesting. And then you eventually found your way back to wholesaling, because that's still your primary business, right?
Yeah. So, just kind of go through the fix and flipping. As you know, you've been in it, Ken. A lot of your listeners have done fix and flipping. It's definitely not, you know, it's not as easy as they make it look on TV. You know, you're dealing with contractors. And I always say, you know, whenever you buy and you're fixing and flipping a house, you know, it always costs you more money than what you think. And it always takes you more time than what you think. And I didn't really know those two things going into that. And then the contractors is just a different, it's just a different breed, you know?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So, and then you're starting to manage these contractors who really, not all, you know, there's good contractors, you know? But the people that we were working with, you know, I was always trying to get the cheapest guys to do the work. And then they would do a terrible job. So we'd have to hire other guys to come in and fix their problems. And it just turned into that. So as you know, like, you know, you start to fix and your goal is to make, hey, $25,000 on this flip. Well, by the time you get it done, it cost you $5,000 more than what you thought. So now you're down to 20. And then, you know, you do the inspection response and then they find $4,000 that you have to come back and fix. Now you're down to 16, and then they want you to pay their closing costs and now $2,000. So now you're down to 14, and then just holding costs in the middle. Now you're down to like 10. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, man, I did all this work for basically, you know, like $15 an hour, I guess, is probably what it averaged out on some of these deals. So I kind of got fed up. I remember I was juggling like 6 flips at one time, and everything just started to spiral out of control. And I remember coming home and I just threw my hands up and said, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. So I said, I'm going to get rid of my flips and I'm going to go back into wholesaling. And instead of doing the eBay thing and instead of doing the MLS thing, I'm really, really going to try and learn, you know, how to do this right. And that's when we developed our company, Simple Wholesaling. And I wanted to find, you know, how can you do this in the most simplistic way and do it with integrity, do it right, and do it really, really well, and develop a really good system in place and a scalable system that we can do this. So that's kind of where Simple Wholesaling, we've been doing that for the last 2 years.
So what does your business look like today? How many people do you have on your team, and how are you guys acquiring properties?
Yeah. So, you know, when I went back and I was looking at all this education, I found BiggerPockets.com, and I started reading a lot of stuff on there. I started listening to a lot of podcasts, just really started to learn, you know, how the top wholesalers are doing, you know, their business. And I kept coming back to direct mail, and I had heard about this before, and I had gotten postcards in the mail, you know, from other investors, but I was like, what are these guys doing? Why are they sending me a postcard? You know, I'm not going to call them, but people saying, hey, this strategy works. So I started doing that. And I started, you know, at first I had one assistant, and I hired a guy, a friend of mine. He jumped on board, and all I did was I said, hey, can you write these letters for me and mail them? And that was his only thing he did. And he's like, yeah, sure. I'll pay you like a quarter a letter or something, you know, like that. So that's what we were doing. We started out doing, you know, 200-300 or a couple hundred in a week. And we started like getting deals from this strategy. And I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting. So then we, you know, outsourced it to a direct mail company. And now we're able to do more, because I said, hey, if we get a deal out of 500 letters, what if we did just like when I first started, if we did one deal, could we do 10 deals or 100? And I said, if we send out 500 letters, what if we send out 1,000? What if we send out 2,000? What if we send out 10,000 in a month? You know, could we develop a scalable system to do that? And then obviously we have to put people in place to be able to handle that type of volume. So, you know, I look at my business 1 year ago, and I was just me and one assistant. That was it. You know, I was pretty much doing everything. He was writing the letters. He was also taking some of the phone calls and doing all that. But now we've hired, myself, and then I'm going to count on my fingers, because we've been hiring a lot of people lately. So let's see.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we got me and six other people that really work for our company, and then I have a couple of like virtual assistants that, you know, that do some independent stuff for us as well.
Man, very cool. And so most of the properties you're acquiring now off market through direct mail, is that your primary lead channel?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, right now we're doing about 10,000 letters in a month, and I figured with that system, we get about one deal out of every 1,000 letters.
So that's strong. That's really strong, actually.
Okay, well, good.
No, that's really strong. Who are you? I'm just curious who you're mailing to. What lists are you using?
Yeah, I pretty much, you know, I used to just blanket zip codes, but we were getting a lot of junky calls, you know, and people cussing us out and stuff. So, you know, my guys don't really like that. So I've been trying to really target, like, I feel like we buy most of our properties from elderly people, like retiring or downsizing or whatever. So we've been trying to really target like empty nesters, people that don't have kids at home. And then they also maybe don't live at the property. So really absentee empty nesters, if you really want to target an audience, that's who we do.
Are you building your lists on like equity, high equity, or length of time in the property?
Yeah. So like we'll go to like, you know, a couple of sites. I use like listsource.com or there's another one that we use called Rebo Gateway.
I tried Rebo Gateway for a little while. Is that working for you? You like them?
I tried them. I've only been with them for a couple of months, and I did get one list from them, but there seems to be some glitches. So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, this is awesome. It seems a little glitchy, to me. But most of them come from like the listsource.com, and then we're trying some other, looking at some other avenues as well. I think I just tried one last called Agent Pro.
247?
Yeah, 247, yep. So
a lot of lists with them.
Yeah, so we're doing that, and yeah. What was the question?
I'm not even sure what the question was. what lists we're going to, like the high, you know, the high equity seems to do well.
Yeah, high equity. Yeah, that's what we do because we don't do a lot of subject twos or we don't do some of those strategies. So when somebody wants, you know, $100,000 for their property and they owe, you know, 95 or something, that really isn't a huge thing for us. So we do high equity, and then we try to target really absentee empty nesters. Those, obviously, if you type that in, you don't come up with this mass list, but... If you look at who we buy from, like if you look at my last 100 properties, most of them were really that, you know, they were just kind of elderly people, had the house for a long time. They just want to get rid of it. They don't want to list it. And that's who we usually buy from. So.
Gotcha. And then in terms of your sales side, what did you do to build a buyer's list? How big is your list? Who do you typically sell to?
Yeah. My buyer's list is not huge. I mean, I've heard some guys have like 30,000 people on their buyer's list or whatever. I got probably about 1,000 and really it's just come through the years, but I always tell people, you know, 80% of the properties that I sell, usually I sell them to like 5 people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of big turnkey companies here in Indy that really we've built strong relationships with, that we sell a lot of our properties to them because they know they close. Like I'll literally send them a property. They'll say, yes, I want it. And then we'll close tomorrow, you know? And that's just, that's how I like it. You know, it's really fast and they know that I'm going to do what I say. I know that they're going to do what they say. There's no him hawing around. It is what it is. You know, it's black and white. There's no, hey, I need to do a 10-day inspection or I need to do this or that. It's just here it is. And, you know, sometimes they don't pay the top prices. I think the top prices usually come from maybe a new person, but I like to really get in and get out. So sometimes I might rather sell a house to a turnkey company that has bought 50 properties from me, and maybe I don't make that extra $3,000 or something, then maybe to sell to a new person who I don't really know, who I don't know if they're going to follow through, and maybe make that extra $3,000, but they might take 30 days, do inspections and all that stuff. So I try to stick and I treat the people that buy from me like really, really well. So like they always get like first opportunity at my properties. Like I'm not one to really blast out a bunch of emails. Some people say, hey, I haven't got an email from you, and I don't know, 2 months. And I was like, well, maybe because they haven't bought a property, you know, the people that really buy, they're the ones getting the emails. Maybe they pick them up before I even send out any mass emails. So
I think that's the way a wholesaler should operate. Some of the wholesalers that I'm close with here in Atlanta, they'll call me before they blast it and say, hey, Ken, you know, I'm about to send this house out at X dollars, but I would sell it to you for, you know, X minus whatever, three, like you said, because they know that I'll close quickly and I won't jerk them around, and they'd rather just know they got the contract, you know, locked up than blast it to masses. That's how wholesalers should only need 10 good buyers on their list, really, legitimately. Because the rest of those, you know, the 990 are just going to spin your wheels.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And as far as, you know, finding the buyers, and if you don't have any people on your buyers list, I would recommend a few strategies. Go to your local networking events, you know, your local Syria networking events. If the mic becomes available, grab it. Some people just go, they listen, you know, or whatever. But get your name out there. Get you known. Get people know who you are and what you're doing. You know, you don't have to be really egotistical about it and be like, oh, I've done so many deals and I'm awesome. Just, you know, my name is Brett Snodgrass and here's what I do and I'd love to meet you. So, you know, grab the mic at those events. Another strategy we use is, you know, I have a salesperson always marketing our properties on Craigslist, which is kind of like finding junk or finding a treasure in a junkyard is what I call it. But we've gotten a lot of great buyers, you know, a lot of junky buyers come through. But hey, you know, we've gotten a lot of great buyers from it, too. Another strategy that we use is whenever we do get a property, we'll look in the area and we'll find all the cash buyers. I'm a broker here in Indy, so I can say, hey, there's been 50 houses sold in this neighborhood for cash in the last year. I wonder who bought those. Well, I'll look them up and then I'll send them a flyer on my property and I'll say, here's this property. We just saw you bought this other one. Here's one. Here's it priced. Also, my name is Brett Snodgrass. I'm with SimpleWholesaling.com. Check out our site. And we get a lot of cash buyers through that.
That's a great, to me, and I've had people call me up doing the exact same thing where they've got a house in a neighborhood and they saw that I bought one in that neighborhood. I love that technique, I think, for acquiring potential cash buyers. If they bought in the neighborhood a year ago, chances are they're still interested in that neighborhood. So reach out to those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Brett, you've been at this for 9 years. You've obviously honed in on an awesome business model there in Indianapolis. Is there one deal that stands out to you as like your best deal ever?
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot of good deals. You know, that's kind of tough to say. I really did a deal back in the day. Maybe I'm not going to talk about this one. It was actually a land deal because I was working with that land investor. So I got this wisdom on how to buy and sell big parcels of land. And we did really well on that one. That was about 9 years ago. But maybe I'm going to highlight one that's really recent in my mind. We bought a house off of a direct mail campaign. This gentleman answered the phone. This was his father's house. So again, you know, empty nesters, people that inherit these houses, a lot of times, you know, we build a relationship with them. So this gentleman, this was his father's house. His father lived here for many, many years. It was an old house. It's in one of the very hot neighborhoods of Indianapolis called Fletcher Place. So it's, you know, really hot area. Right across the street is, you know, 300,000, a lot of flips going on. A lot of the big flippers are flipping houses here. So we built a relationship with this guy and just kind of talked to him, and we end up getting the house under contract. We bought it for $75,000. And this was currently like a triplex. So you had to kind of have some vision with it because it probably should have been a single family home. And that's what most of the houses in the neighborhood were. So you had to convert this back to a single family home to get that top dollar of $300,000 or whatever. But it needed a lot of work, you know, to take all that, to take the historical charm, to put it had some uneven floors, had all this different stuff. And so we had a guy come, and I'll just kind of take you through the story. He offered us $125,000 for the property. And this is kind of a nightmare slash success, I think. So this guy was from Florida. He had an inspection clause, did all of his inspections. He comes back, says everything is good to go. And he was a cash buyer. Well, he comes back halfway through the contract. It was a 30-day contract, and he switches it to a hard money loan. And I was like, well, I guess, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, if you still buy the house, not a big deal. And I don't know this guy from anybody. So he flies in from Florida. We're supposed to close on Friday. He flies in Thursday. I get a call from the agent who was representing him saying the guy is backing out of the deal. Always fun. So anyways, I'm going from a really, really great deal because, you know, we bought it for $75, we're selling it for $125, and obviously the margin is pretty good. And this guy backs out. So I go from this, oh, this awesome feeling to, you know, this bad feeling. So why this guy backed out of the deal was he was concerned about the foundation. So we went through this whole jumping through hoops, and he hired a couple of foundation companies. We hired a structural engineer, all this stuff, and ends up coming back. The foundation was actually pretty solid, but then the guy backs out anyways. And I was like, oh wow, this is terrible. So then the agent calls me up, and in one sentence, he says, the guy's backing out, but me and my mom want to do a flip and we want to buy this house, but can we knock off $3,000? So I still end up selling it for $122, and we bought it for $75. So the margin was around, like, you know, high 30s. After it was all said, I think it was like high 30s or $40K on the profit margin. But so that was a pretty recent deal. We just closed on it on Friday, so I guess that's why I'm just going to throw it out.
That's still not bad, man. I mean, $3,000 off of a pretty solid deal, especially one that you didn't have to fix up. You just wholesaled it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And you should, yeah, some of the flips, I mean, you know, I'm scraping to try and even make a dollar.
I know, yeah. Isn't that the way it works, man? Sometimes the deals that you put the least amount of effort in are like your biggest profit deals, and then vice versa. The ones that you just lose tons of time and hours and resources and you're just eking out a profit. I mean, that's just the nature of the business.
Yeah. And that profit margin, obviously, that's really, really good, like, for our business. I know some wholesalers out there, and they're, you know, they have a minimum of $20K. I mean, it's definitely not our company. Our average deal is probably between like $5,000 to maybe $7,000. This is one out of the bunch that, hey, you know, we did really, really well on. But that's kind of the average.
Well, part of that depends on market. I mean, you got guys in San Diego, you know, that are getting $30,000 to $50,000 per house, but that's because there is a much higher price point. But in Indy, I mean, your houses are probably less than $75,000 in most cases. So there's not a lot of meat on the bone there.
Yeah, definitely. But we have a lot more. It's kind of a catch-22 because we have a lot more opportunity because, you know, I can actually close again. You know, I actually closed on this house, you know, because, and if I would have waited 2 months, you know, and I had to assign the deal, and then this one guy would have backed out, you know, I probably would have lost that deal if I would have had to do it that way. But since the price is what it is, you know, I could close on it. But unlike, you know, San Diego, I mean, I don't think I could close on a bunch of, you know, $250,000 to $500,000 houses, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So somebody that's listening, that's interested in, you know, maybe buying houses from you, learning more about your business, where should we steer them to?
Yeah, you can check out our website, simplewholesaling.com. We have some great resources. We have some blogs on there, some videos. We have a free ebook on kind of, you know, what I talked about a little bit. It's called The Simple Wholesaling System that you can download for free. It'll also put you on our newsletter, things like that. And you can check out our team. So simplewholesaling.com. And our properties are on there right now. We're getting ready to switch the two because we're going to have kind of more of an educational side. Like, if somebody wants to really find the meat and potatoes of wholesaling and try to do it in a simplistic way, we're trying to put some stuff together that people can learn that from, that's not, you know, guru-ish, and we're trying to, you know, sell a huge amount of money course or anything. But we're just trying to put some good quality there. But then you can also check out our properties there if you're interested in buying here in Indy, and, you know, I'd love to meet you and see if, you know, Indy is a great place to invest. So love to have you.
Well, I know Indy is a fantastic market. I've got, like I said, a handful of friends that are up there operating, and the houses, I mean, it's for what, in terms of like the price to rent ratios are just absurd up there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So again, we'll put that in the show notes, simplewholesaling.com. Brett, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. This was great.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ken.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners. This is Ken Corsini with a very special offer. I'm giving you an opportunity to work with my company, Georgia Residential Partners,
and buy turnkey cash flowing properties in Atlanta for less than you've ever bought them at before. Where before we would sell properties that have already been fixed up with a markup in place, we're going to be selling properties at wholesale prices, the original wholesale prices. So instead of selling you a $70,000 house, we're going to sell you a $45,000 house. We're going to provide the hard money, the contractors, the tenant placement, the permanent financing, the insurance, everything you need to get into this house. And again, many of these properties are going to be sold $10,000 to $15,000 less than what you would have paid for them otherwise. That means you get to recognize equity right out of the gates and bring less money to the table on your permanent refi. If this is of interest to you, reach out to me at ken@gainvesting.com. Look forward to hearing from you.